It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
My cup. Think the Adekal was the sea clean bar dame to up. Gate the kings of flint. The drop.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I'm your host, Judy Gold, and this week and next week, we have the amazing, incredible, talented, lovely, half-Jewish. I mean, I don't think half and whole. Jewish, you know, one of her parents is a Jew. She's a Jew. You got a Jew in you. Anyway, so Miriam Shore, who is starring in this feature film, Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a huge film. You might know her from Younger. You might know her from The Americans. I think that was on FX. And if you're my age, you know her as Yitzchak in Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And she's talented, lovely, and I had the best time talking to her. And you're going to love it so much. Okay? So I'm just telling you that now. So that's what's coming up. Want you to know that I am recording this a week before the show airs because I'm in Israel when this lands on your, what would you call it? Your podcast area? I don't know. So I'm in Israel and I'm thinking of all of you and I'm going to have so much to say when I get back. I am fighting for LGBTQ rights in Israel with a Wider Bridge, which is a great organization. Check them out. Also, when I get back from Israel, which will be June 8th, that Saturday, I will be hosting Montclair Pride. Montclair, a lot of Jews in New Jersey. It's going to be fun. I did it last year. It is a great, great day. It's a great celebration. It's phenomenal. So if you're near in or close to Montclair, New Jersey, get there. It's a day of joy. Joy. And then on June 22nd, I will be at the Gordon Center for the Performing Arts, which is in Maryland at Owings Mills. And I'm taking the train to Baltimore, and then I'm Ubering, and then I'm sleeping over, and then I'm getting up and Ubering back to the train station. So it's going to be a really great show. It is, because it's me, and I'm funny. So that's what I have for you. But right now, I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy part one of my interview with Miriam Shore. Okay, so welcome to Kill Me Now. I have a guest this week. And next week, because you know I talk too much. I'm very excited because she's a big star. She's a big star. She's a movie star. She's a TV star. She's a theater star. She's saying no, which makes you like her even more, that she doesn't think she's a huge star. I get fucking great guests on my podcast. So everyone go fuck themselves because you know what? Today we have... I don't even know. There's so many credits that I could introduce Miriam with. First of all, I love the name Miriam. It is so biblical. I'm telling you. Miriam Ruth, and my mother's name was Ruth. Oh my God. And you know what? Shavuos, which we just happened, is the story of Ruth. Okay, so,
well,
I mean, you know her from Younger, where she played a big See You Next Tuesday, which I can't wait to talk to her about because I love playing See You Next Tuesdays. You know, I know her from Hedwig and The Angry Inch. She was in the theater production and the film. Then she did she's been on 1,500,000,000 TV shows. And now she's in the new Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3, which...
the whole story about that is crazy. But what were you going to say? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Miriam Shore, I could do half a bell, but let's just give her the whole thing because her name's Miriam Ruth Shore. Her father's a Jew. It's on Patreon.
The name makes up for the half. I'm half. I'm Jewish is what I tell my children.
Oh, George Santos is here, ladies and gentlemen. George Santos. Yeah.
We're Jewish because we celebrate, like we know what Passover is, and I enjoy eating filta fish.
It's about the matzah, Miriam.
We like a matzah. I've had matzah break. You know what that is.
What? You're asking me if I know what matzah brei is?
I'm saying if
oh,
you...
Oh, for the other people. Oh, please. If they listen to this shit, they know. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's so interesting, right? Like, Judaism is so kind of malleable and personal in so many ways. It's hard to explain to people who don't understand when they're like, well, wait, so you're not practicing, but you're Jewish. How does that work? And then I just go, well, you're not Jewish.
Right. You're not Jewish. And, you know, it's in our DNA, you idiots. It's not like, you know, if you're Mormon or Catholic or it doesn't come up in your DNA profile.
Yeah.
So we are a race of people.
Here's what I'll say that my dad said to me. My dad is a rabble rouser, always has been. And I love it about him. I was raised that way. I was raised, you know, I went to like Workman's Circle when I was a kid. Like we're, you know, we were like.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm proud of it. But like Workers Unite, singing the Internationale from birth, all that kind of stuff. And I remember saying to him, he was like, well, I was at shul last week. And I was like, shul, huh? Dad, are you an atheist? Are you an atheist? And he's like, yeah, it's fine. So is the rabbi.
Yeah. Rabbis are. Yeah. There's rabbis who don't believe in God. Yeah.
We are a secular humanist Jewish group that helps our society better itself. And I was like, okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's the whole tenet of Judaism is called Tikkun Olam is healing the world. You know, look, you can be a practicing Jew who, you know, is very OCD about everything. God bless you. You have to do all the traditions, like, fine, have a nice day. And then you can be the secular, commie, whatever, you know, like someone who is really into making the world a better place and equality. Like one of the tenets of Judaism, by the way, is you have to feed the animals. Like if there is a sick animal, you have to help that animal and feed the animal. It's all about helping the world, but everyone fucking hates us. So, you know, we can just go on and on. Wait, what were you going to say in the beginning before we started recording?
It's fucking.
Oh, you wait till you're my age, Miriam. You wait. You just wait.
Well, I'm all in still my 20s. So no, I really like.
Oh, right.
But it was accelerated by the pandemic. Everything was accelerated by the pandemic. The demise.
Yeah, that's true.
Was accelerated by the pandemic. But I felt like I was like, tenuously, like, I really can't remember things. And then the pandemic happened, and I was like, I can't remember anything.
Do you feel like, like sometimes you're like, oh my God, I just saw you like 6 months ago. And they're like, no, it was 3 years ago. Like, you don't, I have no sense of time because though that whole pandemic was like, pause.
Yeah.
It was like Rumpelstiltskin.
Here's where the sci-fi nerd in me enjoys it. Because you can be like, have you ever wanted to time travel? You did. Like, we all just
right.
did.
Oh, right. That's good.
So speaking of Marvel, which like I'm in this Marvel movie, like, and there's this thing called the blip, which is like half the world disappears and then comes back like, years later. And I was like, yeah, kind of a blip we all experienced like it as a planet. So again, that's
so blippy.
Sci-fi, like, when do we experience something? You talk about world wars or whatever. When do we experience something as an entire planet?
Right. We all did. And everyone reacted differently.
I was going to say, no?
No, we didn't react well. And it made us even more divided. I can't. Wait, Miriam, I'm fascinated by many things about you. But so your Jew father... Oh, you're born in Minneapolis. Your father's a Jew.
Yeah. Mother's Catholic, but they were like, no, 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 no. We don't, we're not interested in you being with this crazy rabble rouser. This is during, you know, Vietnam War and protests and
right.
You know, and then my parents were like deep into that. And so they were like, we reject that. And my mom was like, great, raising them Jewish. so, you know, I was like, okay.
Now, my kids, my ex and I separated. We weren't married because we were lesbies. But when Henry was 7 and a half and Ben was 2 and a half. So Ben doesn't remember us together and he's very healthy. But Henry, of course, you know, Ben, whose fucking luggage is all over the place, is now studying psychology. And he calls me up from one of his classes. He's like, you know what, mommy? The 7 to 11 is the worst time for a child to experience divorce. And I was like, okay, thank you. And you were 7 when your parents divorced.
Yeah.
Worst time.
I'll tell you what, like, you don't know.
Do you remember?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I remember my parents, you know, my parents are amazing, loving people. And their focus was not on being at each other's throat. Their focus was making sure we were okay and we were a family. And I, that's not easy. It's not easy to do when you're happily married, let alone when you're going through struggle. So I remember them sitting us down and saying, your father and I, you know, your mother and I, father and I, we're going to get a divorce. And I just remember crying and crying for hours. And my father holding me, and then looking at my dad after hours of crying, just being like, what does divorce mean though? Just clarify it for me. And he started laughing because it was like, we just got this train. You've been crying for hours. You don't know what I'm talking
right.
about.
But you knew it was bad. You knew it was negative, right?
It's hard to see your parents cry. I mean, my kids don't care except like shoe commercials. I'm just like, oh God.
Right. I do too, because they never have my size. Okay, go ahead.
But so it was an interesting time. It was also, that was a generation where a lot of parents were getting divorced. So a lot of conditions were changing for women, for relationships, for children, for parents. And it was, you know, there was a lot of upheaval about identity, which continues today, which I think.
Yeah. Oh, please. Identity. Are you fucking kidding me? Hey everyone, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever, forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? Is I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, you know, they have stuff for outdoor spaces. But I live in an apartment, and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew. The space looks so much better. And I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know. It's made this more of a home. It's the best. And Elisa has some too. And she loves them. And she talks to them too. But she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. You need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome. But then your mom moves to Italy.
Right. So we lived in Italy when I was a kid, when I was a baby. We moved to Italy because my dad was a professor and they asked him to come to Venice and be on a Fulbright. So we all went there when I was like one.
Okay. Can I give you the finger on this podcast? I mean, you lived in, what, how old were you when you moved to Venice?
We moved to Venice when I was like one. And my very first memories are living in Venice, right? Like my first formative memories are living in Venice. Right. And it was trippy, right? Like we were expats, but
It's like me growing up, you know, living in Elizabeth, New Jersey. It's the same exact thing. Venice. And did you only speak Italian at that time in the house, or did you speak both English and Italian?
Italian and English and Venetian, which is its own dialect, which I don't speak anymore.
And you speak all of them today?
Wish I spoke Venetian. No, I still speak Italian. And I barely speak
English. I know, I read.
You can tell because you've been talking to me.
I think you're doing great.
Thank you. But I was an English major in college, so
I know everything about you. So you were not everything, but
so we were there, and then we were there for a couple years, and then my dad got a Fulbright or a tenure track position at Wayne State University, Detroit, and we moved to Detroit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And what did he teach?
Humanities, American studies, you know, he was, like I said, a rabble rouser. And I think that was interesting and continues to be history. You know, people want to know about that particular era, the civil rights movement, the workers.
And the truth, which is what we have a very weird relationship with now in this country.
Well, history, I feel like we're just ready to jettison our history at all times. We're like, ew. I don't like that. I don't know how that sounds. Let's change it. You're like,
ooh. Yeah, it's exactly right. Like, let's not even, it's so, let's just not talk about that. How's that?
That sounds bad. You're like, yeah, you know why? Because it was fucking bad. Let's talk about it. Like, yeah. You don't have to, like, let's have a conversation. That seems to be a problem for so many people now. So we came and then we lived in Detroit, and that was amazing and interesting and its own thing. Detroit's really singular, I think.
Oh, I love Detroit. I was just there. Yeah, I did. I was in Detroit. Well, I was in the Bloomfield area, and I did a sisterhood at I don't know what the hell it was, at a synagogue. I did a sisterhood, but they were great. There's so many like mega synagogues there, like huge, yeah. Synagogues.
We were in Detroit proper, which is, you know, a different thing than out in the suburbs.
Oh, yeah.
Which eventually I did end up living in the suburbs and grew to really not like suburbs.
Right. I hear you. Same.
I'm 7. My parents get divorced. My mom's like, I'm out of here. Italy was amazing. And they had this weird joint custody where my sister and I, my older sister, and I went back and forth and would spend a year with my mom in Italy and a year with my dad in Detroit.
No way.
Yeah. And until I graduated from high school. So that was a...
Okay. Wait a minute. That is fascinating. So, and this is pre-FaceTime and all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Were you totally emerged for that year?
No, because my mom was teaching at an American school. So I would go to an American school,
But you were living in Italy. You had your friends, you had and did you see your father at all for that year?
We would then, for the, whatever the winter break was, we would go with whatever parent we weren't with. So they wouldn't have to go too long without seeing us. But as a parent now, I can see the benefits of like that much time away from your kin, but there isn't sort of a way I could do that. I'm not judging my parents for it because I think that they were trying to
I'm kidding.
But they were trying to, you know, figure out a way to make it work and be as the least disruptive as possible. And I don't think that's an easy, I mean, I feel really strongly for all parents going through separations like that, because more often than not, they love their kids and they want to do what's best for their kids. And they're just trying to make their way through the world and be happy people. And if you're a happy person, you're a better parent. So, you know, I get it.
Yeah. But when you went, like you're in Italy for a year and you have your whole life there. And then you're like, all right, see ya. And yeah. you go back to the United States. I mean, I know when my kids would stay at my ex's apartment for the week and then come for to me for a week, that there was a, you know, a day of like readjustment. I can't imagine you're for a year. Did you maintain the relationships that you had when you went back and forth?
I did for the most part. And you know what I think, you know, all the hard things in your life kind of teach you things that you, and you become an expert at certain things because of the difficult right. things in your life. And some of the things I wouldn't necessarily call myself an expert, but yet I just did. But I would say that, you know, I can adapt well, and I can forge relationships over time and space well, and I can understand that the world is much bigger than my particular
right.
plot of land in that moment. And I can believe myself to be a traveler of the world. And all these things have really served me in the life I chose as like a cuckoo actor. So, and just as a person too. So I really benefited in a lot of ways from it. And I'm sure if I hung out with Ben, he would be like, no, mom, she's textbook insane from all these things I'm learning in my psych class.
Right.
But I'm sure there's like fear intimacy, you know, and there's all the things right. that happen. But
I love how you said how it served you well, and helped you to maintain these relationships. But when you were, I mean, look, it was a different time then. When you were in Detroit and all your friends, I mean, are yeah. in Italy. Could you keep in contact with them throughout the year? Or was it like you got back to either Detroit or Italy and you're like, okay, wait, fill me in.
Yeah.
Who's friends with who? What happened here? Who are we talking to? Like, how did that, it must've been so weird.
Yeah, I definitely was, you know, we would write letters or talk on the phone. And I have a few good friends who are still some of my closest friends in the world from that time in my life. So I'm really lucky that I had that. I also had an older sister who is an amazing human who is always in my life. So that is invaluable. You know, that's not that, that goes the longest way, I think, towards making me.
Do you think it was harder on her?
Absolutely. She was older. That's not a question. Like, I just think yeah. you're the older yeah. child. You, whether or not you choose it, you get the responsibility.
Yeah.
And when you're the younger child, yeah. I mean, you know, I know that there's probably relationships where that's not true, but it for the most part, that's just how it kind of goes. It's so
definitely with my kids. Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. so unfair to that older kid. They're not asking for it. They're a kid, you know? Right. And so, you know, we both have our separate issues from the how this went, you know, but luckily we had each other and she's amazing. So, and I'm clearly also amazing. So, you know, we had each other and that was
obviously.
But it was unique, and I know that it was difficult. I know it, I'm sure, created all kinds of like, and I'm a totally fucked up person because of it. But at the same time, I think I gained so much from
it. But you're not.
I feel okay. Talk to my therapist.
Right. But it's just like, look at the life you have. I mean, it also, do you have any of the letters? Did you save any of the letters or correspondence?
Yeah,
from that time period.
Postcards and a couple of letters that I wrote with my two friends from, I really am still friends with, like my closest friend. We were just texting last night. My two friends from junior high and high school. Oh, weeks. We hold on to those ties, which, you know, they mean a lot to me. And I wonder if it's like because I really
understand
that lifeline to still be there. So I valued it and right. I cultivated it. I also was, I'm a pretty gregarious person now. I wasn't, you know, I was mm-hmm. pretty shy and observant. I sort of waited, and if you can believe it, but I waited and just sort of like assessed the situation and then just kind of like figured out where I needed to be in it. And that's a useful skill. I'm a little like now I'll just throw myself into it, you know, but I wasn't quite like that then, because that can be perilous in junior high.
Hey,
Hey, everyone, you know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
Your kids are 10 and 13. Ruby is 13 and Iris is 10.
Yeah.
When they were your age, when your parents got divorced, like I now look at my kids, like Henry, my older son, is going to be 27. That's how old I was when my father died. And I look at him and I go, wow, that is really young. Like when I was 27, I was like, okay. But when you look at them now and you remember how you were at that age, are you surprised or like, it must feel so weird, like knowing how resilient you were going back and forth like this.
Yeah. I mean, think about being a 7-year-old on multiple, because of course my parents had no money. So to fly us back on these airlines that just don't exist anymore because, who knows, you know, what was called Sabena. Anyone remember it? No, it was out of Brussels.
Sabena?
We had to fly multiple cross-country flight. We go to Iceland and then to Brussels. And like, you know, I'm 7.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, I mean, with my sister, but 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. So like my sister and I talk a lot about like that unaccompanied minor. Those of us who have traveled as unaccompanied minors, it feels like a club, like we know, and what that even used to mean before. There is a resilience. That said,
yeah,
I know I can do it. You know,
do you think your kids could do it?
Yeah, I mean, they're asking to do it.
Wow, that's crazy.
Oh, their air travel is different now. We have a different sense.
No way.
Of it. You know, it was like it's just getting like in a bigger Chevy. Back in the 70s,
right.
Now it's like you're taking your life in your hands, you know, in a,
right.
You're confronted with that every time you walk through the airport,
right.
You're not allowed to forget that. So,
oh, please.
Yeah. It's stressful.
Did you graduate high school in Michigan or in Italy?
Michigan, yeah. And to try, I graduated in high school because I knew I was going to go to college in the States. And so I wanted that. Like,
right. You went to University of Michigan because you're a genius. And
I mean, you said it.
But it's such a good school.
I loved it. It really worked for me. Yeah, Ann Arbor is a fantastic city. I was a theater student, but I was also an English major because I wanted both those degrees. Because
you're fucking smart.
But yeah, I love it. Worked for me. It was a big school that had some aspects of a smaller school within it.
Right.
You know, sort of had all of it. It was liberal.
It's a beautiful campus. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go to somewhere like Ivy League, but I can't afford that. Are you kidding me? Like,
first of all, it's basically Ivy League, Michigan. Come on. It's right up there. It's just as good as the Ivy Leagues.
The Ivy Leagues were something. We have this sense, we're told stories about like what you're supposed to aspire to without really taking into consideration who you are. I think that's what young people, hopefully they're better at assessing who they are than we were. I don't, it doesn't seem
like they have way more choices.
Yeah. It's scary.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting a little bit too many choices, but anyway, it's fine. So you move to New York and you pursue the acting, you get into Hedwig, playing Yitzchak.
That's my first audition. That was the very first audition my agent ever sent me on, was this workshop to play Yitzchak. I have the little slip of paper. Why I kept it, I have no idea. I kept the little slip of paper that I wrote the audition on. Isn't that weird? And it says,
I love that.
Man to be played by a woman, former drag queen whose name was Crystal Knocked.
It's just so fucking hilarious. Yeah.
The last US of the Balkans. And she, you know, and I wrote Hedwig and the Angry Itch.
Oh, that's hilarious. You got to frame that.
I know, right?
Yeah, frame it. I mean, and I try to say I'm not really a hoarder, but it's like, you know, everyone keep the memory, throw out the thing. This is me. This is exactly me with, you know, going through like wanting to kill myself because I have piles of papers and stuff. And then, okay, I'm going to clean it out. And then this is it. This is exactly what happens.
Just keep it.
Yeah, I'm going to keep. And it's just, it's so stupid.
It's not, you know, I'll tell you, I don't know how, you know, I'm going to do my podcast where I ask you all about how you were raised. I don't have one, but I'll need to get one so that I can ask you those questions.
Okay, fine.
Given my upbringing, you can see why I might be like, I need to own things because I kept moving around.
Right. Hang on to something. Yeah.
So I am a hoarder. My husband's like, who spent his whole life in, you know, growing up in New Jersey.
I know. Where in New Jersey? I looked, tried to find out where in New Jersey and I couldn't find it out anywhere.
Morristown. Have you ever seen, not Morristown, Morristown, which is.
Morristown. Yeah. I grew up in New Jersey.
Beautiful. I go there.
I know
like,
where Morristown is.
But you know, he's like, if it doesn't spark joy or whatever the saying is, then chuck it.
I know. I hate people like that.
I can't chuck it.
And then a piece of my heart goes away. Like I'm saying goodbye to something. Yeah, I know. It's a psycho thing.
I'm sentimental, but I really would be buried beneath my sentiments.
I found this note. This is something this little notebook that I found. There's nothing in it. Except one of my kids wrote page, number, and title. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, so.
Oh, my friend came
in. And he wrote it, and he was.
It is him. You're like, it's not him. He's a person who's over there. That's like some ink on a paper. You're like, no.
Right, right.
I mean, I get it. And meaning things to me. I'm sentimental. Like, it has a meaning. Each thing, it's a talisman.
I know. I'm so sentimental. But that is. I looked it up. It's like OCD. It's part of like OCD and whatever.
I don't have OCD, or I like to say I don't have OCD, and my husband is so organized.
Right.
But I'm like, but yeah. There's the flip side of OCD, and that's what I have.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Miriam Shore. How great was that? And I know you can't wait for part two, which is coming up next week. Isn't that fantastic? Kill Me Now, I forgot to do this on my last episode, so I'm saying it twice. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling, and everything in my life is arranged and what's the good word? Happening? I don't even know. Because of Brittany Jo Sowards Richmond, my trusty assistant. So, you know, thank you very much for listening. Thank you all for your lovely thoughts.
please subscribe and leave a review. Please subscribe and leave a review, because if I could sell this to like another platform, even though, you know, whatever, something where I can monetize it, that would be great. But that's only going to happen with a lot of subscribers and really good reviews. So please do that for me, just for me. I don't ask for a lot. I really don't. Just peace and equality. And I'm very calm. So yeah, that's it. Just come see me, please. Montclair Pride, June 10th. And then on June 22nd, I'm in Owings Mills, Maryland at the wonderful, beautiful Gordon Center for the Performing Arts. And then I start my residency in Provincetown at the Post Office Cabaret. And, it's the Post Office Cafe and Cabaret, because it's a cafe and it's a cabaret. That begins June 25th through the whole summer, with a little break to go to Montreal for the Comedy Festival. And the name of my show is Everything Hurts, Everywhere, All at Once. And boy, does it ever. So thank you all so much for listening. I love you. And as we always say, so long.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.